We read from God's Word this morning, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. That verse means whether we are alive, wake, or whether we sleep the sleep of death. Makes no difference. In either case, we live together with our Lord. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and who are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. This is the Word of God. We call your attention to verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. There are in this little verse, people of God, three truths concerning thanksgiving. Number one, thanksgiving is not to be limited to a certain day or occasion. That's the danger possible in having a special Thanksgiving day and worship service. We might think that Thanksgiving occurs only in terms of this holiday and the harvest. The text teaches we are to be giving thanks in everything, all the time, just as we are to rejoice evermore and pray without ceasing, so are we to be giving thanks always. Number two, the text teaches that thanksgiving in everything means for everything. We must not give thanks for the things which we, from our earthly perspective, regard as good, and not for the things which we might call bad. Nothing, absolutely not one thing, lies outside of the scope of our thanksgiving. In everything and for everything. And the third truth taught here, precisely for that reason, is that thanksgiving is only for believers in the Lord Jesus. Thanksgiving is a profound spiritual activity of faith. And faith, as we know from the Scriptures, is God's gift. That means that thanksgiving is the fruit of God's wonderful and sovereign grace, and is properly expressed only by the Church of Jesus Christ. This is what we hope to learn from God's Word this morning. This text, as you may very well have noticed, occurs in a series of admonitions by which the inspired apostle concludes this first epistle. Paul begins the chapter by comforting the church concerning the coming of the day of our Lord. Because God appointed us to obtain salvation in Christ, we have a great comfort. And this means we are to be sober in order that we might be able to watch as children of the day for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in order that we may be watching always, we are to remember our office bearers who labor among us and who have the rule over us and who admonish us. We must esteem them, judge them highly for their works' sake. And we must do so in order that we may be ready to meet the Lord in His coming. And so that we may be ready to meet Him, we must not render evil for evil, but always follow that which is good, both among ourselves and in our relationships with all people. Then follows a series of terse, almost staccato-like admonitions. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. And we must understand, people of God, these admonitions are related one with another. Thanks in everything involves rejoicing evermore and is expressed in unceasing prayer. Prayer without thanks is not prayer. Thanks without joy is not thanks. And prayer is the chief part of joyful thanksgiving. And so from that point of view, we consider the Word of God as it speaks to us this morning of giving thanks in everything. And we call your attention first to the scope of thanksgiving and then the possibility of our giving thanks in everything, in order finally to conclude with the exhortation, the command of the text to give thanks in everything. The scope, as you may surmise from what we said in our introductory comments of thanksgiving, the scope is universal in everything. And most emphatically, congregation, this does not mean giving thanks for some things or circumstances and not for others. We have a lot to learn in this regard. We have a bad practice, and it comes as a result of our being influenced by the world in which we live. And that bad practice is to divide our lives and our possessions and our life circumstances into two groups, what we call good and what we call bad or unfortunate. The good things are health and wealth, a nice, good family, success at our calling, our work, and what have you. And the bad things are sickness, our griefs and sorrows, the disappointments we encounter, the unfortunate circumstances in our lives, and so on. And then we're inclined to give thanks for some things and circumstances and experiences, but not for the others. And the Lord says to us this morning, no, in everything, give thanks. Ponder that. In everything. And that doesn't mean either that we give thanks for some things and then patiently bear, even without any complaint, the disappointing or bad things. Doesn't mean that. Though that's difficult, I mean difficult merely to bear and patiently endure the disappointing things, we might be able to understand the text and receive the Word of God here in the text if that were the case. But that's not what the Lord says. He says, in everything. And He means what He says. Oh, of course. Scripture enjoins Christians to be patient in affliction and to bear patiently the reproach of Christ. But the point is, people of God, our patient endurance of all things, also the trials and difficulties of life, must be with thanksgiving. There was a school of philosophy centuries and centuries ago in the Greco-Roman world called Stoicism. Christians are not Stoics who simply accept with stony silence whatever comes one's way. There was a popular song a while back that expressed that. Whatever will be, the future's not ours to see, and so on. That's not a Christian song. That's not a song we ought to be singing. Give thanks. Nor does this imply a superficial outlook that so many have, and we sometimes display that too, don't we? The idea, you know, that every cloud has a silver lining, or that we have to take the bitter with the sweet so we don't get too upset or shook when things don't go as well as we'd like them to go. Better days are coming, you know. No. In everything, most emphatically, in every sphere, in every circumstance, every experience, every life situation. And you understand, congregation, we may not qualify this word of God. We may not put our limits on it. We must take it precisely as it stands. In everything without exception or limit. And we mustn't say to the Lord, as it were, now wait a minute, Lord, you don't really mean everything, do you? What about this? What about my sorrow? What about this? What about that? No, no, no. In everything. And so the implication certainly is, as Church of our Lord Jesus Christ, as one manifestation of Christ's body here in this place at this time in history, we must give thanks in everything. For all the blessings we enjoy, the communion and fellowship with God, which we have every Lord's Day, especially when we come together in worship. The wonderful privilege of sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus and hearing His voice by means of the preaching of the sacred gospel. What a blessing that is. God comes to us in the Lord Jesus to comfort us, to encourage us, to correct us, to build us up in the faith. In everything, that means for the wonderful privilege you boys and girls have to be taught from week to week, now by one of the elders of the church, and we hope soon by your own pastor in catechism classes. I know, boys and girls, sometimes, maybe many times, if you were like me, when I was your age, I didn't always like catechism so much. I used to get kind of scared when my dad would ask me the questions because it didn't go well with me if I didn't know the answers, backward and forward. And then you have to go there, you know, and listen to the preacher or the elder for 45 minutes or an hour. But think of that, boys and girls. Jesus is teaching you there. Yes, He is. Oh, yes. Jesus uses the office bearers of the church to teach you. In everything means for the wonderful experience of the communion of the saints. The privilege to come together week by week, not only in worship, especially there, but also in the various Bible studies that take place within the church. And for the wonderful task that God gives to the church, this church, Trinity Church, to preach beyond the walls of this sanctuary, to be engaged in missions at home and overseas, to be used of God for the gathering of His people and the building of His church, for leaving a witness to the nations, and for the coming of the great kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yes, in everything means for faithful pastors, elders, and deacons, through whom Jesus is pleased by means of His word to take care of us. In everything, yes, for the peace and freedom we enjoy here in the United States to worship God unhindered, unmolested, a privilege that many saints don't have. We know some of those saints, too. Oh, yes. I and other of our pastors and some of our elders have had the privilege of being in Myanmar and meeting Pastor Titus and the saints there. You know how they worship God every Lord's Day? In somebody's house. And always with one eye kind of on the windows to see if those soldiers are there looking at them and going to harm them or throw them into prison or kill them. Every Sunday. Oh, yes. But that isn't all. In everything means, too, that if God should send tribulation or suffering so that we're no longer privileged to train our children in covenant Christian schools and in catechism classes, even then give thanks. That's what happened to God's church often in the past. And that's what's happening today too. And in the days to come when there will be a great tribulation awaiting the saints, such as never before occurred in the history of God's church, even then in the great tribulation, should we be living still, we'll be joining hearts and hands with the saints of God, maybe in the caves and dens of the earth, to give thanks, joyfully thanking God for the privilege of suffering with the Lord Jesus in order that we may be glorified together with Him. And that has to characterize our individual lives too. In everything, give thanks. Thanks for life. Thanks for all the gifts and powers and talents. Thanks for health and strength. Thanks for employment. Thanks for abundance of food and drink and clothing. Thanks for peace and plenty. Thanks for homes and families. Thanks for sons and daughters, our overflowing cup of prosperity. Thanks, Lord, in everything, rain or sunshine, when there is plentiful harvest or when the harvest is harmed by too much rain or not enough rain, for all these and more give thanks. Whether we eat or drink, we're called to do all to the glory of God. And that's what Thanksgiving is all about. But people of God, that isn't everything, is it? It doesn't end there. There's another side to life. We know that only too well. In fact, earthly life considered all by itself is not all prosperity and all joy and peace and plenty. The Bible calls it a weary night of sin and death. We confess every time we present our little ones for baptism, that it's nothing but a continual death. That's reality. There's death all around us. The creation itself bears the curse of sin, and that's death. The creature is made subject to vanity, to futility, to emptiness. And death pursues us relentlessly, casts its shadow this day over our brightest and most joyful moments. We were just touched by the tragic loss of a loved one, an office bearer, a brother, a husband, a father, a grandfather, and fellow saint. How true to our experience. Yes, there's health, but there's also sickness. Yes, there's suffering, pain, agony. That's the experience of many of the saints. I know a dear saint in one of our sister congregations who said to me not very long ago that this is probably her very last Thanksgiving with her children and grandchildren. Body full of cancer. There's abundance, but there's scarcity, poverty, peace, but also war. While we sit down with that great big turkey or ham or whatever it is with our loved ones at the table this noon, there are saints of God and even little children of those saints with bloated, hungry bellies and not enough to eat. Yes, there's joy and happiness, of course there is, but there's sorrow, heavy sorrows too. Our joys are always tempered by sorrow. That's reality. That's life. But it doesn't preclude thanksgiving. That's the whole point here. It doesn't mean that only some of us, or even most of us, can give thanks today, but others can't. In everything, give thanks. That's the word of God. In all things, in all circumstances. But you say, that's impossible. Oh, indeed it is. For the unbeliever, doesn't matter what his life circumstances may be, whether God sends plenty or lack, health or sickness, joy or sorrow, doesn't matter. He holds it all under, the Bible says, in unrighteousness, and he refuses to acknowledge God as the creator of it all. He is unholy and unthankful. His happiness, you see, is dependent on things. It's measured by the size of his dinner today. And it's all hollow and very profane. As the rich fool, the life of the unbeliever consists of the abundance of his possessions. And everything we have on this earth, save our faith and salvation in Christ, will rot and decay and be destroyed. And when we leave this life, it'll be the same way we entered this life, naked and without one thing. How about the Christian? Doesn't it also seem impossible for us to give thanks in everything? To regard absolutely everything, every circumstance? Also, what happened a week or so ago when the Lord snatched from us our brother? Every circumstance, give thanks. Everything is a gift of God. Nothing is bad. All things are good things. Now, when God puts me on a bed of suffering and pain, I don't merely accept that. My attitude isn't merely, I still have much for which to be thankful, it could be worse. I still have my family or whatever. But being thankful in everything, congregation, means I thank the Lord for this suffering. Yes, for this suffering, this pain. The Lord takes the love of your life from your side. You say, thanks, Lord. No, no, no. That doesn't mean you don't grieve or weep. That's not sinful. But even in your sorrow, you can thank the Lord. Thank Him for the grace He gives you to bear it. Thank Him for collecting those tears of ours in a bottle and thankful for His promise to wipe them all away, every last one of them, in glory someday. This is giving thanks in everything. This is the will of God for you. And there's the possibility right there. This is the possibility in our impossibility. God willed you to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's His gracious decree of sovereign election. He conformed you to Jesus' image. And in time He sent His only begotten into the likeness of our sinful flesh and for sin. And Jesus died in your place and on your behalf, removing your sins, every last one of them, and all the effects and power of sin, including its wages, death, and the sorrows and the fear and the anxiety. And He arose. I know that's true because He arose as the mighty conqueror, the Lord of lords. And He poured out His Spirit into your hearts. And by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, you're born again with life from above that will never die, called out of darkness into the fellowship of God, united to Jesus through the gift of faith, living out of Him as He lives in you. And He assures you, my son, my daughter, your sins are forgiven. I've adopted you to be my child and heir of life everlasting. And I will preserve you, and I will not withhold any good thing from you. This is the gracious will of God in Christ concerning you and all His saints. Why? Why is that? Because God wants a people filled with His goodness and acknowledging Him thankfully in all circumstances. We're saved in order to be a thankful people. That's why everything works for our salvation. People of God, that always takes us back to the fundamentals, doesn't it? And there's the exhortation. In everything, give thanks. Feel grateful. Rejoice. And keep on doing that. Always be giving thanks. Pray without ceasing. Yes, putting it all together. Giving thanks is the joyful acknowledgement that God is good. That's all there's to it. Doesn't matter what your circumstances are. Are you sick? Give thanks. Acknowledge that sickness too is a gift of God, a blessing by which God is molding and shaping you for glory. Or as I often said to sick people when I called on them pastorally, God has put you here to speak to the entire congregation of His goodness, of His love, and of His faithfulness. Are you healthy and well? Give thanks. Do you mourn today? Give thanks. Is your life hard, difficult, troublesome, give thanks and rejoice in unceasing prayer. That's God's will for you and for me. Everything is for you. Nothing can be against you. Everything you have, everything you are, comes out of God's gracious will for your good, for your salvation. We say it sometimes glibly, but we say it as never before when the going gets tough. Nothing comes by chance. Everything comes out of God's fatherly hand. For Jesus' sake, God, in his infinite wisdom and goodness and love, sends it as a means to save you. That's why we read Psalm 34. And don't you just love that verse? No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. All things, Romans 8, work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to his purpose. People of God, it all comes down to one thing for which we give thanks in everything, and that is our salvation by God's grace through faith in Jesus, his gift. But that one thing is everything, isn't it? Amen. Father, we thank thee for delivering us out of our sin and death and translating us into the kingdom of thy dear Son. We thank thee for thy grace, which is sufficient for our every need. And we ask of thee for grace, not only today, but all the days of our life, and not only in those circumstances we consider to be good, but also in our trials and sufferings and sorrows. Give us grace, Lord, to give thanks in everything. For Jesus' sake, amen.